This is an interesting setup. Can you guys hear me okay in the back? Conference I speak at that's also at a state farm facility, and they do the same thing. They put tents in the corners in the vendor hall. They have four, and the first time I spoke, I thought, no one's going to hear me, but they can, you know, with a good system. Now, the interesting thing is I just dipped my, I can actually forward these slides. It's going to be interesting. We're starting just a tiny bit early because the AAV guy or the tech guy needed to go start some of the pre-chat, you know. It's like kind of like the pre-game show on Super Bowl Sunday, you know, talk before they talk and stuff. I have been going all over this facility. I love state farms or state affairs, and I've been going around sniffing. And this is the only room that smells like a state fair. And I love that smell. I think y'all are too clean because the rest of this. So, did we go off? There we go. We're back on. Somebody tell me what time it is. Are we good on time? Is it? Okay. All right. Let's get into this. Please tell me how many of you are thinking about homeschooling or are new to homeschooling. That would be my expectation. Okay. That's good. How many of you have been doing it a while? Why are you here? Okay, so, you know, I'm going to start by telling you, I have my glasses on my face. I'm looking for them. Like, where have my glasses gone? I really am the Lucy Ricardo of homeschooling. I'm not just kidding. This is really who I am. So I tend to talk about homeschooling, distractible ADHD kids, and that kind of thing. And if you have that going on in your house, come talk to me. We'll have prayer together, but then we'll talk. It'll be good. Well, I have to tell you, amongst my collection of friends, I am not from Connecticut, but I am currently living in Connecticut, and I've been in the Northeast now about 15 years. And there are some folks there, they lead a very different life than me. I mean, I have some friends I would actually call glamorous. I mean, that's the word. I mean, these people are amazing to me. They're very lovely women. They do this thing that astounds me. When winter weather comes, they put away their supplies out their winter wardrobe. That's amazing to me. What a new concept. And I told, I don't know if I should tell you all this. I told my husband, I do the same thing. Somewhere around about October, Thanksgiving, I set down my shaving razor and I put on my winter coat. But just saying, you know, don't know. A little bit too much information there. I actually know of some women who don't even own a pair of jeans. I don't even know what to do with that information. I mean, you know, they don't even own them. And these women, when they walk into a fine store or something, you can tell. I mean, the clerks kind of sit up and take notice of these women, you know, and say, how can I help you? They get these hushed, reverent tones. And when I am in a store, which isn't very often, I'm not crazy about shopping, I regularly, and I am not making this up, regularly people will come and go, do you work here? I mean, so frequently that I've just decided I have some kind of, like, work face, you know? It does not matter where I am. First time it happened, I was out with my kids. I said, be ready. This is going to happen. And they've just gotten to the point where it happened one day. We were at, like, a Barnes & Noble. And I thought, well, okay, maybe I have a literary look. But later in the exact same day, it happened at an Agway store. So I have an agricultural look, too. You know, someone actually came and goes, do you know where the manure is? And what was sad is I knew. So I just told him, the bags are over there. You know, what are you going to do? You just pass it along. So anyway, so like a lot of speakers on the homeschooling circuit, they're kind of like my glamorous friends. They're organized and calm and lovely and always kind of dressed right. And I thought, you know, listening to them speak in the early days, it could actually kind of be discouraging to me because I am not that woman. I am so not that woman. But the nice thing I will tell you is when you listen to those women speak, you do get a glimpse. And I believe they're sincere. I believe that they're the genuine article. You get a glimpse of what it's like to be around someone who is calm and ordered. And I think that's a very important role to play. I have a very, very different role to play. Part of my job is to fail spectacularly, take notes, and share them with you. That's the first thing. The second thing is I'm kind of like one of those warning signs on the freeway, get off now, you know, and if you can do that. But what I think is the best thing that I bring to people is they listen to the fact that I have homeschooled now successfully for over 20 years. I've graduated too. I've got one who, you know, went to college on a scholarship, has a degree in chemistry. I mean, you know, it worked. And yet you will watch me talk and you will say, if that woman can homeschool, I know I can do this. And I think that's a little party favor. You can just take home in a little bag pretty much, you know. So anyway, all right. I was asked to do this particular talk because the planners know I'm going to be real with you. I'm going to tell you what we did right. I'm going to tell you what we did wrong and give you both of those pieces of information. But I've been attending homeschooling conferences for as long as I've homeschooled. The moment I started homeschooling, I started going to conferences. I don't know how to homeschool without going to conferences. I know there are people who do it, but I like them so much. I continue to go year after year. There's just so much that's involved in them that I really like them. I like the fact that I get to touch the curriculum materials before I buy it. I get to open them. I get to see what it actually looks like on the inside, not just what it looks like on Amazon. I also like that very often at the booth, you're talking sometimes to the person who created the material. That is amazing access to how it was designed and what kind of methodology went into what they put together. I mean, that I don't know how to do without that. I really like that. But another thing is, because there's been a downturn in the economy, we've seen a lot of parents pulling their kids out of private schools, can't afford that, trying to look for another option, and end up coming to homeschool. And it is an amazingly big movement. And I think that's one of the best things you get at a homeschooling conference. I was stunned the first time I went to one. I'm thinking 25 women in a church basement, you know? And I suddenly realized I was a part of something that was really big. And there are some homeschooling conferences that get 26,000 people. It's a big movement. So, I mean, the numbers of people who homeschool, I don't know where it is now, but the last time I checked, it was around 2 million being homeschooled in our country. I mean, it's bigger than any school district out there. There's just a lot of us doing this. Now, I did a little research on the topic to see what others have said about getting started in this adventure that we call homeschooling, and I found some good advice. I mean, the standard stuff that you expect. Let me see what I can come up with here. If you're going to homeschool, you need to know the laws in your state. That's important. So IAHE, your local organization, will be able to tell you what the laws are. It's also worth seeing HSLDA, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, because on their website, state by state, they list what the laws are, and it's easy to access. It's legal in all 50 states, but how you homeschool in order to comply is a little different from state to state. A lot of the pioneers in this movement were forced and were willing to go through the difficult challenges that came in various states. When I first started, used to be known as the worst state in the union for homeschooling. If you ever hear of any of the horrors of the history of homeschooling, chances are they came from my state. But then the laws changed. Actually, they changed the year before I began homeschooling, and it became like the best state in the country. Just be aware of what the laws are. It's almost always pretty easy to comply. Now, in one attended in our state that we choose a name, call our school something, and use that all the time when we would fill out forms. So Westfield, so we named it Westfield Academy. And I'm not kidding you, to this day, I still occasionally get emails from someone saying, and, you know, I'm usually very gracious, but in my head, I'm thinking what I want to send back as well. It's a very easy application. Did I give No. Why not? Anyway. So when I began to pull this talk together, what we need to know in order to homeschool. And there was kind of this standard list of things that you would expect. Things first, what do I need to get started? Well, you got to learn the laws. We talked a little bit about that. Find out your child's learning style. That's useful. Find out your own teaching style. Examine and select the best curriculum. Join a local support group. Subscribe to a few homeschooling magazines. Get on the mailing list for get your home organized to handle this new venture. Think through your decision and, oh yes, relax. They are very useful. They are the very ones I would suggest to you if I were giving this talk. However, the problem is, if any one of these things was essential to the process, I could never have homeschooled. I didn't do anything. Fell into homeschooling. But the one thing I have learned over the years, and I know in the beginning you won't believe me, is the most efficient and forgiving educational model. You can do so much wrong, and still so much right happens. Astoundingly, they learn. And I mean, there's so many blessings that come with homeschooling. I'll try and give you a sense of what those are before we're done here today. Now, when I began homeschooling, I knew one thing. The traditional kindergarten classroom had failed my child. If a child can be said to flunk kindergarten, he did. Kindergarten. I went home and I did what a lot of us do. I created the public school classroom at home. This is how you teach. I thought that is not just a way of teaching, that is the way of teaching. Well, there are so many different models, and the longer you homeschool, the more you will see those different models. Be open to because chances are one of those other models will suit your child better than the traditional. I know in the beginning we go with the traditional model because it's what we're used to. I mean, my mother says the cow always goes to the barn. You know, that's what we're familiar with. But open your mind to some other possibilities, and you may be astounded what happens here. So here's my son. He kind of flunks kindergarten, and we were trying to put him into the public school system. That's where our mindset was at the time. And we visited. There were only four possible first grade classrooms. we kind of set him loose in the classroom. He was very, very ADHD. I mean, you need to know he had all these surgeries. He had like 13 surgeries before he was 3 and a half. He lived through that. We thought, we can exhale, we relax, we put him in kindergarten. He so struggles with distractibility. Turns out he's ADHD. So we take him to these classrooms. And the teachers look at him involved in that classroom, and they said, this kid's going to have to be on medication if he's going to be successful in this classroom. Every single teacher said it. Now, you need to understand, I hold no ill will against these teachers. I looked at him in that classroom. Not only was he distracting, you know, himself to the point that he couldn't get anything, he was distracting everybody else. And I knew this kid was going to hear his name called out a million times a day in correction because he was just all over the place. So we ended up kind of falling into homeschooling. And I did it because I didn't know what else to do. We couldn't afford private school. I thought, I'm not a homeschooler. They all live in Idaho. They raise goats. They have 26 children. This is not me. But I did it anyway because we didn't know what else to do. And there we were. And I would love to tell you so planned out and so much forethought and such a smooth path. But it wasn't. But fortunately for me, homeschooling is incredibly efficient and forgiving. So even when you do it all wrong like I did, there are success stories to be had. It's okay to learn as you delight. Homeschooling is an evolving process. You may think you've got to have all your ducks in a row before go with you as you go. And my favorite thing is if a curriculum is not working, you can pitch it. Now, I have many, many friends who are public school teachers, and they wish they had that option because they'll be about 6 months into a new curriculum, and they're realizing it's not working, but they're stuck because that school board worked hard to find that curriculum and they paid good money for it and they're going to have it for about 6 years and they have no choice. You have amazing choices. And one of them is, if it's not working, get rid of it. You have other options that you can do. So you can have the idea that it's possible to maybe have a better start than I did. You know, I mean, if you can plan ahead and do better than I did, I think that's good. I think you should go with that. But let's talk about what is needed to survive. Isn't that a sad little plant? That's how I feel some days. I get that. So what do we need to actually survive that first year? Well, I would love to tell you to relax, but I think when you first begin homeschooling, nobody can relax. Everybody walks around with their eyes too open, you know, and I get that. So while I believe technically she said to relax, I'm not even going to try to convince you to relax right now because nobody can even hear me, and I understand that. That's all right. So let's go with some of the changing your child's learning style. And teaching style. Okay, that's good. I've actually written a book on learning styles. I think there's value in doing this. I also think there's some value in postponing doing this. Because in the beginning, we don't mean to, but what we tend to do is we superimpose our learning style on our children. We're pretty sure they learn that way because we're really kind of stuck in believing that's just how learning occurs. And it takes a long time to realize this kid learns very, very differently than we do. And so I think sometimes in the beginning, in a variety of ways, try different things, wildly different things, things that would never have worked for you, things that just try different things. And when something works, you will know it. It's one of those things, you see the light bulb go on over this child's head. And it's like, oh my goodness, that connected with him. Whatever we just did there, we're going to use that in math, and we're going to use that in science, and we're going to use that. Worked. I think that's a better approach in the beginning and even all the way through than to try and narrow in on their learning style early on in the game. So just teach in a variety of ways that will naturally address all the basic learning styles. And learning, I just believe, should be this multi-layered, multifaceted, rich experience anyway. Want to be home with you? This is it. You want to be the best teacher in the world? You want to have the greatest homeschool? This is it. Find the joy in each subject. There is joy to be found in algebra. There is. I personally think playground. There are so many gorgeous patterns in math. Get your kid and learn it along with them. You don't have to learn it ahead of time. Don't think you have to do that. Learn it along with them. I should have gotten earlier. But the second thing is, it teaches my kids about this adventure, this joy of learning. Even mom's excited about learning. I never believed I had to have all the information ahead of time. We found it together. And it sort of made our Indiana Jones. I mean, we were always on an adventure together. So don't hesitate to become part of the learning process. Okay, well then, again, really good idea. Not essential, but a really good idea. And part of the reason is some of the curriculum that you are looking at There are people at your support group who've been using it for years, and they can tell you what part of it worked and what part of it needs some supplementing. Wealth of resource on some of the very things you are considering doing. So consider those support groups. Another one, subscribing to some of those magazines. Again, really good idea. Not essential. Google the words homeschooling magazine, and you'll find there are a lot of them to choose from. And a lot of these magazines even have like a lesson plan in each thing. There's one that does a complete history lesson or a unit study in each magazine. Lots and lots of resources in those. Great articles. Also keeps you in touch with what's going on in the homeschooling community. Lovely thing to do. Getting on the mailing list for some catalogs, or rather, lots of catalogs. The undisputed winner, in my mind, goes to Rainbow Resource. Have you seen their catalog yet? I kid you not, it's this thick, okay? It's massive, and they once had a contest where if you could find an innovative way to use their catalog, you could win an award, and I think the award actually went to some dad who had stacked them and used it to hold up the car while he changed the tire. These are substantial magazines. So, again, it is useful to do this. Then we have the last two that are left. Okay, so one of the things you have to do is you have to learn the laws and you have to get a curriculum. Okay, so those are essential. Those are the two you absolutely cannot go forward on without doing these things. So how do we do that? We've covered the how and the what on learning the laws. Let's talk about choosing a curriculum. Now, when I began homeschooling and I brought my son out of this traditional model, took him at home, and of course tried to set up a regular schoolroom. That's what I mean. I basically thought, I'm going to take the public school model, I'm going to bring it home, and I'm going to put it on steroids. That was my vision of how we were going to do this. So I took this little, you know, room in our house and set it up, and it was very, very traditional. And it took me about 6 months to figure out this was not working. And it was six really horrible months, lots of tears. In fact, I'm going to be doing a workshop later on homeschooling the distractible child, where I will share with you a whole bunch more about what we did wrong and what we did right. But if you have a traditional learner and you want to have a traditional model, it may very well work for you. But if you don't, that model can be disastrous. And you will have to step out of the box and look at some other possibilities. So choosing that curriculum may be a very different kind of issue. You're going to have to think harder. I mean, at the time, I had all of these read this, fill in the blanks, take a test method, which is a pretty traditional model. Kiss of death for a child who can't sit still and struggles with writing. But that's what I thought we had to use. So I think also one of the hardest things for new homeschoolers is we come in with this traditional model and there's so many things we have to let go of. One of my favorite stories was a homeschooling support group director had planned this field trip. She wants to go away on this field trip. And this mom, new to homeschooling, comes running up to her and says, "We can't go yet, we can't go yet, I didn't fill out the permission slip." The support group leader said, "Well, okay, are you going on this trip?" And the mom said, "Yep." "This trip?" And she went, "Yep." And she said, "Okay, here it is. Does your child have your permission?" That's it. It's a different model. You know, we're so accustomed to that model that it's hard to let go of some of those things because we don't redoing this. It made sense in the other model, but it may not make sense here. It is a brave new world, and we are not in Canada. And popular homeschooling methods include, I'm just going to list for you some of the most well-known ones. Unschooling, directed, literature-based, and traditional. There's a whole bunch more, but these are ones that you will frequently hear used. You could be really well-versed in each one of these. There is a book someone came out with, the Suarez family, and they found the leaders of those particular models and had them explain how they work, what the benefits are, what the cons are. So I'm sure this book is available over in the vendor hall. It's a very, very popular book. If you want the most common models of homeschooling, this book will do it, and it'll give you a sense of that. And keep side on a model to work with. Then there's a whole bunch of material created to support that model. Communities who use that model. You can join those groups. You can bounce questions off of people. Very often there are local groups who actually support that model. So you can find your community within a community once you figure out where it is you want to go. You have so many. And for years now, and I have said this, if I were a public school teacher and I walked down the aisles of one well-stocked homeschool vendor hall, I would be angry at the stuff. There are so many rich alternatives that you get to choose and look at that they can't. It's not part of the school budget. Now, let's start by using a traditional curriculum package. And traditional for me, again, is kind of this sit still, read this. And there's a ribbon of sentiment in the homeschooling community, and you may feel this pressure eventually. We're like, oh, you really sold out. If you did the traditional package, you've got all these. I want to give you grace on that one. I want you to understand that when you are first beginning, if you need to start with the traditional model, that's fine. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Sometimes starting out there, you need a structure that's familiar because you're already doing so many things that are unfamiliar. So if you want to start with a lesson plan for you and has it all, you go with it. And you can slowly work your way away from that if you want to, and if you don't, that's fine too. But do what works for you because you are part of the equation too. It's not all about how your child learns. It's also all about how mom and dad work. So just remember, you are part of the equation. Now, there's another thing that a complete traditional package will give you. Fully created scope and sequence. Now, if you're not familiar with that, I want to tell you, a scope and sequence is a term you'll hear in educational circles all the time. All it means is it's a list of things to be learned and in what order they will need to be learned. That's all it is. The scope is all the stuff we're going to learn. The sequence is the order in which we're going to learn it. Now, if you go and you Google the phrase scope and sequence, you'll get, I don't know, like 4 about this, is public schools, private schools, prep schools, everybody has put their scope and sequence online these days. You can find out what other schools believe is the proper thing to learn and in what order. Now, so I collected a bunch of scope and sequences thinking I was going to use them all, you know, and I made this amazing discovery. Other than math and learning to read, pretty much you could do anything anytime. Some schools were learning, you know, about the ancient Egyptians in the 4th grade, some waited and did it in the 10th grade. And I suddenly realized there are very few things that have to be done in this sequential order. Most of it we can kind of work with however suits us. And the other thing that's amazing to me, you really can pull from the best of the things that are there and create your own scope and sequence. You really don't have to depend on someone else. You can find what works for you, which definitely ended up working for me because I have developed, remember, I am kind of this Lucy Ricardo mind. I've developed what I call rabbit trail education. And there are times when something interests us, we will leave the lesson plan and we will spend 2 weeks researching something that just struck us as interesting. And if there's a butterfly exhibit in town, we may go off and see it. Next thing you know, we are out there chasing butterflies and mounting them and looking up their Latin names. And we're willing to do that. So I had to have a lesson plan that would adjust to that because that's part of how I like to learn and how I like to teach. History, while it can be in an all-over place in most schools, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I graduated from high school, in fact, when I graduated from college, I could not have told you if Napoleon came before Attila the Hun. I didn't know. I couldn't have told you if, you know, Cleopatra might have bumped into Shakespeare. I didn't know. It was kind of all this big blur. And so, and I will also tell you, before I homeschooled, I hated history. I thought it was the most boring subject on the planet. Now, not only have I come to love schooling years, I have decided you have to work really hard to make history boring. And I had professors who managed to do that. But I'm thinking, it's about people. It's about their lives. How in the world can you make that boring? And so we have just learned, I mean, history just exploded in our hearts that we get to do. I just love it. I mean, it's talking about people. What is not interesting about people? There was a junior high school teacher in my little Millersburg, Ohio town where I went to high school. And she was an extraordinary history teacher. Now, she was in junior high, so I missed her. We moved there after that grade. But she had this one thing she asked every single class, every time they learned about a period in history, and I love this question, where did they go to the bathroom? How did they go to the bathroom? And it was important. It was important because it made were just like yours. These are real people, same kinds of issues. And that was part of how she taught kids. And kids came out of her classroom absolutely loving history. So anyway, I determined that in our school, history was going to happen differently. Now, remember I told you I was going to share with you what we did right, what we did wrong? One of the few things we did right from the very beginning, and I just got lucky, was we taught history in chronological order. And there was some value in doing this because my kids realized a couple of things. One is there's a whole bunch of world history before American history shows up. Now, I didn't know that because I had studied American history pretty much equally in my school along with world history. So I thought American history was about as big as world history, which is absolutely hysterical. I mean, we're about 200, 250 years old, somewhere in there. You know, we're just not very old, but the world history goes on for thousands of years. So that's chronological order, and my kids understood what came first. And it also, how much American history was impacted by all that came before it. There was a lot of impact, but you really need to get that in chronological order to get that. The second thing, physical timeline up on the walls in our home. And I can't tell you, if you have a visual child, I cannot tell you how valuable this is. I will never again wonder if Cleopatra could have bumped into Shakespeare, because Cleopatra's over there. Wait for me. Now, you can buy a timeline. You can. I personally really like making our own. I like that every time we studied something in history, I'd have the kids make something that we could tack up on that timeline. I'm also a big believer in ditties, which are just... I share this more in my other workshop, but let me do one here because it works with the timeline. Finish this sentence for me. In 1409... And everybody knows that because it's this little rhythmical ditty form. In fact, it's the only date you remember, right? Yeah? Because those ditties stick. Well, once I started realizing this, I started creating ditties for my kids, and particularly with history. If we had a ditty, we had a special little marker that went up there. So every now and then, I have my kids, what we call in our house, walk the line. They have to start at the beginning of the timeline, walk through, and tell me about the events that they see. And I do this every so often, so it kind of cements in their mind where things are. But when they hit one of those ditty markers, they have to recite the ditty that goes with it. So, okay, the Irish potato famine, that one. If they hit that one, they'd have to say this. In Ireland, 1840 and 5, they ate just potatoes that kept them alive. Then a blight came along and the crops failed for years. 1 million, they died. 2 million came here. So that, you know, it's just one of those things that cements the date, the dangers of a single crop economy and a single crop diet, and it was this launching point for talking about, what's that word? Immigrating. Thank you. And so we just had ditties for everything. And for what it's worth, by the way, all on CDs, if you're interested, we can talk about that. We'll do more on that. But anyway, so history and chronological order was into that. I fortunately did not duplicate in my children my own history background, which was just disjointed kind of all over the place. Let's see. Now, you may decide in the beginning you want a traditional curriculum. I really have no problem with that. I think that, you know, there are some really exciting choices, and if you're open to doing that, you should consider it. But let's move beyond surviving and talk a little bit about thriving, see if we can go on to that. There are a lot of gifts that homeschooling is going to just hand to you that you don't even know are coming. Now, how many of you were in the main session that I did over there, that keynote session? Okay, most of you. About half of you, though, weren't. So one of the things I will tell you, and that I'd mentioned over there, one of the blessings in homeschooling, I've never had to figure out how to respond when my child is bullied on the school bus. Never had to go there. And that just comes with the package of homeschooling. But there's a whole bunch more that comes along with it. Number one is you do not have to get everything right out of the box. That's a blessing. And you may believe you absolutely have to have all your ducks in a row before you start. Now, here's what happened with my son. When I began homeschooling him, not only had kindergarten not been a good experience for him, but out of 25 kids in his classroom, 2 emerged unable to read. My son was, of course, one of them. So I went into this full-fledged panic. Oh, my goodness, my son's going to have reading disabilities. What a struggle. And so that first year, all I worried about was reading. And we took care of it. Now, I now know that a 6-year-old boy who cannot read is not a crisis. I know that now. I didn't know that then. Because that's kind of the prevailing sentiment that you are told. They got to read. They got to read early. They got to know their alphabet before they even come in. They've got to, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's just not true. A lot of kids learn later. And even in the public school system, they will tell you children need to learn to read at their own rates. Well, they tell you that, but they can't accommodate it. They cannot work with this child for 3 years on, but you can. Please understand, a child who cannot read at 6, 7, or even 8 is not a crisis. So the first year, we figured out reading. Next year, I figured out math. Turns out he's pretty good at math. We didn't know that till the second year. But once we found the right program, boom, he just caught right up. Third year, we figured out science. Turns out he's pretty good at science. He really sticks really good at math and science. And he caught right up on those things. So another way to word this is, you can crock pot. Now what I mean by that, if you are in that kind of public school mentality, it's more of a micro. You are walking into something that is more of a crock pot mentality. I want to share with you this piece I found. I love this. Homeschooling is not microwave. It's crock potting. The teaching process and the learning process take time. Homeschooling, you take the child out of school, bring her home, zap, hit her with textbooks, and ding, she's ready. Homeschooling is not like that. Instead, you prepare and assemble all the ingredients in place, and you stand back and you wait, and you wait. And at some point later, you catch a whiz of the crock pot. It's a process that takes time, takes a little heat, which you can adjust. Allow your situation some time to work. It's worth it. Remember, homeschooling is not microwaving. 2 is surround your child with rich experiences, rich reading material, living books. Make sure you have books that you would want to read yourself. If they are not interesting, really good, interesting books out there, they should be able to read stuff that's actually interesting. Crock-potting instead of microwaving, and that just will change the way you approach this. So in keeping with that sense that homeschooling is more like a crock pot, and another thing I say is to kind of keep your teaching radar up, is that instead of just walking along the trail and saying, good, we were outdoors today, take along a sketchbook. Have them sit and actually sketch something that they find. And they will notice details differently when they stop and take the time to do it than if you just walked through. Now, for our kid, the original, you know, go to the zoo with 45 other kids. We did that once. Sure, if that's the public school model, that does not work for my family. I nearly lost my son 3 times, and he was zipping along, and I spent the whole time just with the child. So we changed right there. Our field trip model is one other family. And then I noticed some amazing things happen. We had thoughtful conversations with 45 other kids, particularly the science museum. You know, there's the lever with the pulleys and then the extra pulleys that lighten the load by a mathematical amount. Gone. He had no concept of the physics of what was going on. But when it was just us, we could actually stop and talk about the science behind what he was doing. So choose what works for you. That slow cook and simmer is a valuable mentality to adopt. All right, let's talk about some of the myths that are involved in homeschooling. Oh, there's my pretty crockpot picture. I missed that. Oh, well. You need an education for your children to experience academic success. Now, that one, it seems kind of reasonable, you know, but this is something you're going to need to let go of. And the truth on this one is going to blow your mind. First conclusion, if you take a look at the truth was, for a long, long time, they found out academic performance of a child was indeed tied to the academic achievement of the parent. They found that to be the case. The more, particularly the mother, the more advanced the mother's educational level, the better the performance of the child. So for years, everybody's conclusion was, the academic achievements of the mother, parents directly impacted the academic achievements of the child. That's a scary thought. So here's what they then did. They actually studied some homeschooling folks. Now, take a look at this. The purple represents kids in public school and the academic achievements versus the parents. So if mom had, off to the right here, the purple, mom had not quite a high school education, then her child performed at this level. If mom had a high school degree, her child's performance went up. Some college, the child's performance went up more, and college education, the child's performance went up even more. Homeschoolers, and we added this into the information. First of all, you'll notice that they're all quite a bit higher. That's the first interesting thing. The second thing, you'll notice that they actually, it seems almost irrelevant what the education of the parent is. In fact, I find it fascinating that moms without a high school degree, their kids did better than the moms with a high school degree. Okay, but by and large, they were relatively the same. Well, what do you do with that now? I mean, we all know that generally speaking, homeschool kids outperform their public school peers, you know, on the average. That's definitely the case. But what do we do with this? And the conclusion they came to, they can no longer say that the academic achievement of the child is directly related to the academic achievement of the mom. The conclusion. The academic performance of a child is tied to the academic, no, that's the previous one. Here we go. Let's go forward. Investment. Who is more invested than homeschooling parents? That's why it works. Because you are so invested in the academic success of your child, you've decided to take the bull by the horns. You can't get more invested than that. You even said, I'm going to keep paying taxes and still pay extra money for my child's education. That's how important this is to me. And that's what resulted. The statistics would be absolutely amazing. So if you are a mom or a dad and you think you don't have the educational level to achieve this, you need to understand you're exactly who your child needs because no one is more invested in your child's success than you are. And you remember that study that came out years ago where they were talking about to develop a level of expertise in something, you needed about 10,000 hours. There's no teacher in the school system who will have 10,000 hours with your child, but you'll have that at about age 2. Want to take out the sleeping hours? Age 3. Okay? So you're covered. You're covered from about every aspect. Let's look at... let's move on. We've got that one. That's just kind of boring. Here we go. Okay. Oh, no. You know, it is really good. Let me go back one. Back one. Here's what is also interesting. It is important to get this. Is the academic achievement of the mom. I've got way too many words here. Just ignore that. Okay. Here's the thing that's amazing. Public schools are working really, really hard to change the gender gaps, to change the gaps between races. And in homeschooling, those gaps don't exist. the playing field suddenly levels for race and gender. It's an astounding thing. You have an amazing model here before you because homeschooling is incredibly efficient and forgiving. You will hear me say it over and over again because it's true and I want you to own it. Okay, let's go on to flexibility is your friend. I don't know if you can see her. This woman is like 147 years old. I mean, she's amazing, and she's doing this flexibility thing. I would split in two if I tried to do that. But several years ago, what kind of grades my kids got, and I paused for a minute. I get it. A lot of sarcasm in her voice because I get it. They get all A's, don't they? And I know what she was thinking. What she was thinking was, your mom, you're an easy grader. You're going to let them slide. You're going to make sure they get all A's. And I thought about it a little bit, and I said, well, the truth is, yeah, I think in general they get all A's, but not for the reason you're thinking. Because if they're not getting A's, we stop, and we work on it till they get A's. Because the goal is not working through a lesson plan, mastery of a concept. If you are still married to a lesson plan and somebody else's set of rules on stress, you need to let that go and instead take on mastery of a concept thing. And that requires some flexibility sometimes. So what that means is if you're working on something with your child and you suddenly realize they're struggling in fractions or they're struggling in some other concept, it is okay to set aside other things and just work on those core subjects. Now, this is one of those things you need to know. I mean, I was a music major for a long time. I love music. I want my kids to be exposed to all kinds of music and the art in the world. I want them to put on and see and be in dramatic productions. I want them to be knowledgeable and understanding of American and world history. All of that is true. But if my son is struggling with fractions, I'm setting all that other stuff aside, and we're going to work on fractions. I allow myself that flexibility. Reading, writing, and arithmetic have to be learned. And I'm willing to set those. There's probably 40% of the vendor hall that just dropped away in a dead faint because I said that. But here's the thing to understand. I'm not saying don't do those things. Those things are important to me. But you can set them aside, work on the core, pick them up later, and they catch up. They catch up. But you can't let the core items get lost in the process just so that you can have an art class. You've got the flexibility and the ability to do that. School is not this immovable rock in your life. I think that's one of the best things that happens in homeschooling. Now, we actually had our kids in... Let me get there. See, I don't push the button here. There we go. I had my kids in... I had my son in that private, you know, kindergarten program, and it was just astounding to me how stressful it was. I mean, for heaven's sakes, it was kindergarten. How stressful should it be? But we had that morning thing. You know, where are your shoes? I don't know. Why? What do you mean? Your socks don't even match. Do you have your money for your lunch? Oh, my goodness. The bus is coming. Ah! You know, and you do this crazy dance before you even get them out the door. So one of the first blessings I had with homeschooling was that calm in the morning. And we didn't have that stressful thing. You know, we got up. We had breakfast, started school when we felt like it. We didn't take off our pajamas till it was time to go to the post office. and still, that's kind of how it goes in our house. I mean, it's just much more relaxed. All of that tension that goes with being somewhere and having permission slips and making sure that your mittens are attached to your boots, all that's just gone. One of the many, many blessings that you have there. Homeschooling works around you. Now, I'm an early riser. I like to be up at like 5 a.m. and I like that I'm the first one up and I can kind of do things I need to do before everybody else gets up. But when I wanted to spend some more time writing and my youngest daughter, she wanted to sleep in a little bit later, we shifted school to accommodate that. When I know one family, they've got their six kids, they've homeschooled forever. The husband worked this late, late shift. The only way they could see dad is if they schooled till 2 or 3 in the morning and got up at noon. It worked for them. Who cares? That was the problem. Now, if you have your kid in a public school system, they can't accommodate the fact that you have morning sickness. My favorite one, my husband slipped, broke his leg, and on our ice, and suddenly I'm taking... And how do you... School worked. School still works, because we can work around that in our school. Because of this, I kind of recommend, at least metaphorically, that you write your lesson plan. Obviously, what I mean by that is just don't be married to your lesson plans. Be willing to erase something and move it around. Now, for those of you who are type A people, this can be really hard. because you have a little box there and it needs to be checked at 2:15. Got to check the box. It's handwriting at 2:15. You will never write if we don't do handwriting. You know, you got to do that. But the more you do this, the easier that will become. Myth number three. Oh, maybe I do. Let's see. There we go. Myth number three. I need so-and-so's approval. Let that go. I don't need anybody's approval. If my husband and I have agreed to do this, my siblings don't agree, or my neighbors don't agree, or my son's old teacher doesn't agree, it doesn't matter anymore. Full of public school teachers and principals. And I mean, these people were in the NEA and they were very, they have never been amused at our choice. But we got to a point where I said, you don't anymore, but we do need to have this place where we leave each other alone to be adults and to raise our own children. That's all I needed. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree, but you do have to leave us alone. So get to the point where you don't need anybody's approval. If this is what's right for you, then you got to. The thing is, you need to understand everybody feels like everybody else is doing it better. The truth is, you're all doing a great job. I mean, the numbers bear it out. If you, he's been doing homeschooling research on homeschooling for years. He's very, the methodology is very important to him. His statistical and thousands in his, you know, his study group. So check out his stuff. If you ever just need numbers to know that you're doing something that's. Brian Ray, and his organization is NHERI.org, and he has a lot of stuff you can take a look at. Another thing I would recommend is that you can be a leader. It can become all about the kids. And, you know, there's a lot. There's just a lot that goes on. So you're going to have to make a point to keep your marriage down ahead of time. Make sure, you know, it's not going to be the same as it was before. This takes up a lot of time. But you've got to make an effort to keep it on the radar. In the same way that I say, if you've got children who are very labor intensive and you've got one who's really calm and compliant and sweet, you have to make a point to connect with her. Because she's not gonna bother you because she sees how busy you are. So you have to, in the case of my daughter, I started having tea with her regularly. But in case of your marriage, figure out those date nights. Figure out the things you need to do to make sure that your marriage stays on the radar. Change you. It will change you. I mean, your lesson radar is going to start to develop. Interesting, but now it sends you off on a trail of discovery. And you're going to look things up on YouTube. Rounds in our house. We like, it's part of my music background. I had my kids learn rounds. I like rounds because it's a nice way to introduce them to singing something where there's a counterpoint going on around them, but they have to hold their own melody line and so on and so forth. So it was about, don't ask me why, Czechoslovakian composers. Who writes a round about Czechoslovakian? Smetana, Dvorak, and I said, well, let's figure out who these people are. And suddenly, we were off on this trail because one of them had written this opera, which was just gorgeous, which I don't generally say. I'm not necessarily a big opera fan. If you like opera, it's okay. If you don't like opera, it's fun. You know? I mean, it becomes crazy. So we just went off on this long trail of these Czechoslovakian composers and the relationships and the things that they wrote and what it led to. Don't hesitate to do that. You'll find those opportunities all over the place. But your ideas, your values are going to change. What you thought was a great gift before you homeschooled is now kind of... What you'd really like is an electric stapler and a foreign language software program and regurgitation. That's the kind of stuff that thrills you after a while. You'll find scriptures will jump out at you differently. I met a homeschooling mom before I homeschooled. I only knew one. I didn't know her very well. And she said, except right now, you will never again have the perfect... And I had to kind of own that. And so since then, one of my favorite scriptures, I want to put it on the wall of my laundry room. They were naked and they were not ashamed. See? Down you, scripture will speak to you differently. Anyway, you are getting into something that will grow you as much as it grows your child, if you let it. Let that process happen. It's kind of cool. You're getting into something that may give you the education that you wish you had gotten when you were getting into one of the most satisfying, family-affirming, exhausting, challenging, growth-creating activities of your life. That's what you're getting into. So make your list, cross your T's. I get all of them. Find the joy in absolutely every single subject and make sure you have fun along the way. Now, tell me how much time I have left. 10 minutes. Oh, I am never done early. This is amazing. I love to be able to have Q&A, but I usually... If you have any questions, you don't get a chance to talk to me here. You can email me and ask me. But does anybody have a question? Yes, ma'am. The question is, can you use different curriculum for different children? The answer is, you almost always have to. Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, if God blesses you with this homogenous group of kids, you may be able to do it. I had to end up creating my own learning to read program because I had a child who had an attention span of about 2 minutes. So I did this learning to read program with him. I absolutely loved the way it worked, and I saved all of his little learning to read sheets. They were, you know, a stack of them, and I thought, I'll just use this for my next child, which was funny because, lo and behold, the stuff that he needed more repetition on. So right out of the box, I realized I needed something different for her. I have, you know, a child who's strong. Here's a thing to notice, too. Do you want to pick a curriculum that covers all subjects for one child? Sometimes the answer is yes, if that works. But I had a child who really struggled with writing skills and the physical act of writing and the mental act of writing. But he was really strong in math and science. So if I picked a single curriculum that was kind of even across the board, it would be too hard on the writing side. It would be not challenging enough on the math and science side. And this child had struggled so much, I really wanted him to zing at math and science. I wanted him to know he was really good. So not a single child, I would pick and choose eclectically what I wanted him to work with. Just see what works with your child.